The weekly conversation with Maitreya will be open to everyone. You can raise your hand and ask your questions. Please keep your questions on topic, mission of Maitreya. Do not be combative. Be articulate and keep your questions in the spirit of learning and inquiry. Keep the questions in the highest level. Ask about the teaching and be mindful that you are holding the energy at high height. Questions will also be taken in text, but only one at a time. Treat the room as being in a lecture, and please do not grab the mic. Please listen to the answer to your last question before typing another. Those who do not follow this simple rule will be red-dotted. They, however, will be given one more chance for follow-up questions. If they continue to be disorderly, they will be red-dotted permanently. If you would like to listen to his previous lectures, we already have them running 24 hours a day in the room, Discourses by Maitreya, God's Word Continuously.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the mission of Maitreya's conversation room. We welcome you here to hear the latest revelation and the last revelation that explains everything to humanity and unifies all religions of the world. A spiritual path is a difficult path probably for many people, and I'd like to start the conversation today with a comic strip who somebody brought to my attention. It's called Agnes by Tony Ocheron, and it's two friends that they talk with each other, and one of them says she's going to dedicate her life to the selfless contribution to others, and she thinks if she does that, she will feel good about herself. And her friend says, well, that's not selfless. Says, oh, okay, then how about if I will do it so people can know me and that they know I'm a good person? And the friend says, well, that's not selfless either. And then she says, okay, then I'll do it with no credit taken for what I do. Says, okay, that should work, the friend. And then she says, okay, but God knows that I'm good and he's going to reward me a lot. And the friend said, well, sounds like your ego again came in. So you can see the difficulty of the spiritual path in this comic strip clearly. That I always is looking for a reward, for something to receive in return for doing something that we think is good. And it's accepted, you know, a lot of people say, yes, if I do this, you know, then I'll be known as a good person, or this and that. And still we can see, even in this little truth revealed in here, still I always is looking for something to return. If that person who wrote this comic strip knew about the surrendering and submission, then we would realize you even don't think of the reward or something that you receive in return. You surrender the result to God. And you submit to Him, and God does the work to us. Therefore, we don't even think about the reward for what it's done, because we haven't done anything. God has done it. So we can completely examine ourselves to see when we do something really, is that the surrendering and submission to the highest extent. Another thing this comic strip doesn't bring to the attention is the grace of God. Only by grace that we can be selfless and be a complete channel for God's, you know, energy and I is not there at all. I thought that was a very interesting comic strip that somebody came up with, but it still, although it reveals a huge truth, it is short of realizing the greater realization that surrendering and submission solved the problem that girl that wanted to become selfless and contribute to this betterment of human life. Here we have the answer to that question. That question has been answered clearly, that we have to become so purely a channel for the highest energy in the universe or God that we do not exist at all, so the I doesn't even crave the reward from God, but is content with being one with the Spirit of God and realizing that, you know, any reward is not comparable with oneness with the essence. And that is our reward. Our reward is to become one with God, return to the essence, or realizing that God is the one who is doing it through us. And of course, this mission will give us that opportunity and ability to overcome the self or ego, not the self but the ego, that does bring that problem of always we are looking for something for return of what we do in our life. And it relieves us from the pitfall of ego. That is why this path is the fastest path to return to God. It absolutely against human nature. And that is why humans have been having so much trouble for the last 12,000 years to bring about an environment that they can progress in a greater degree to the highest spiritual realization, because the ego always is present in our system, in our work, in our lives. And eternal divine path is the path to become natural. Because this universe is a relative truth. It's not natural. It's not the essence. We're living in a very unnatural state as being created in this universe. Our natural state is the essence or its God. That's why it's such an illusion that a lot of people or human have to make this world and this life perfect. The most perfect you can become to the natural life is the communities of light. That's why a lot of things is happening on this earth. You know, we have a lot of things that people do to make themselves happy or make themselves immortal. And that is, of course, the craving of the ego to make this life here perfect. When you are perfect, you are no longer here. You are back to Godhead. If you reach there, you are back. You can make it, this world, perfect. That's why Buddha said it's suffering. This life or this world is suffering. And if we realize that, then we are not going to be attached to something is temporary and is not permanent. The only permanent is the essence. And that is where the happiness or the infinite longing in man will be satisfied. This finite world will not satisfy them. this is the message we have to convey to humanity and take them from this illusion that they have created for themselves, and they are struggling all their life to reach it here in a natural state of living, that your happiness is only going back to God and creating minimum physiological and safety needs for everybody at least, so everybody can meditate, progress, understand this realization, follow eternal divine paths, create communities of light, sacrifice for it, surrender and submit to God. So like that little girl in that pumpkin strip is not confused anymore, because he knows that he cannot be attached to the result of his action. And even greater than that, she knows that God is doing through her, therefore she is free from any attachments or craving of the ego, and therefore she can progress in a greater degree in achieving her goal. And of course, expanding our consciousness to become universalists don't belong to any specific place on earth, but belong to the whole universe, and expand our mind so we are not become narrow in any way, shape possible. This is the eternal divine path. Awakening of us. You see, whatever you look at in this world, eternal divine path has the answer. First of all, it lets you become deeper because you meditate, you contemplate, you concentrate. You realize yourself in a deeper level. Then, of course, you realize, at least by reading though, or the revelations and the scriptures and the word of great beings, that this world is temporary. It's not permanent. It is not the natural state of being. Therefore you become detached from it. You realize no matter how much effort you put in this world, it is temporary, it's not going to give you the ultimate happiness. The ultimate happiness is somewhere else. It's the more effort you put for the next world or the spiritual world, the more successful you are. The more effort you put in this world and you go away from the spirit, the more successful you are. As Christ said, you might gain the world, but you lose your soul, and that is not a good bargain. But you say, then I need to eat, I need a place to stay, I need these things. Great, sure, we do not agree with you on that. That is why we have to create to a community of light, to create an environment that physiological and safety need of man is being taken care of. A place that they can come without any fear to meditate, to help, to be together, and progress in a greater degree and faster state possible. So God does not neglect the physiological and safety need of man. But he tells them, share. You have to share with one another in order to be able to release yourself from this pressure of the external world for physiological and safety needs. And the more you come together and help and create communities which based on sharing, respect, and greater degree of understanding the goal of life is to become divine, the sooner we have more people who have more time to meditate and awaken their future forces. So the second step is to create that environment that will support everyone, every member, to a degree that they have no fear of their physiological and safety needs. course, each person in that community has to realize they have to give up themselves to the community in order to create such an environment. Not just a little, but more than you take. Because the more you take than you give, then the community is going to be empty after a while, and we're all going to have to go back to the external world, and again, the pressure and everything that is in it. But the more community you give in the community than you take, the community will prosper, and not only you will have a good environment, also those who are not fortunate as you are might be helped also to stand in their feet eventually and become a member, a productive member of the community. So that is why you can see the community of life is a place that helps those who want to go back to God. And of course, sacrifice is needed in this state. As we saw, the only way you do not become attached to the result of your action or your sacrifice or whatever you do for selfish reason, you can just go ahead and say, yeah, I'm going to go and do selfish things, selfless things in my life. But at the back of your head, it's still, you know, you're looking for some reward, be recognized, be, you know, feel good, or asking God to, you know, reward you for it. Still, it is not selfless. The only way you can be selfless is to surrender the result to God and say, okay, I've done it. The result is yours. I'm not attached. I'm not looking for any reward or anything. But I go and continue doing that to the next project or whatever. Even greater than that, of course, is submission, which means that you let God do the great job through you. You meditate, you create comings of life, you join comings of life, you sacrifice, and you know God is doing it through you, and become universalist. And this is five steps that have been brought with five religions of the world. Meditation, contemplation, awakening of external forces. All the mystical paths say, know thyself. To know God. That covers all the mystical paths. Hinduism, Buddhism, and any other ism or teaching that it says your essence and God are one. You are in the image of God. Even the Bible said you are in the image of God. Even Christ said, you are God's. So, all the great realized people have given us this truth, that we are a part of God. Our essence is God. But of course, our ego makes us do ungodly things. And when we do ungodly things, of course, we are not manifesting our essence. The whole idea is, everybody eventually manifests their essence, which is God, and God is good. Therefore, we become good ourselves. So there are going to be many good people in the community of light. By being good, of course, they manifest God in a greater degree, and the community become godly. It becomes a godly community of light. And the more godly it becomes, the more people will follow God's law, God's commandment, God's ways. And by doing that, of course, peace, tranquility, unity, and all the wonderful thing that humanity has been longing all these 12,000 years and have not achieved it. nor myself. Who tried to bring it in to humanity? Who tried to bring that peace and longing and unity? They did not succeed. And every war was supposed to be the last war that will end all wars. But God already said which war is going to end all wars. And that is going to be the Armageddon, or the last struggle between good and evil. Or God and ego. So that is the humanity is called to do. Because that's of the ego, by following eternal divine path, by creating the communities of life, by sacrificing in it, by meditating, by surrendering and submission to God, and becoming universalist. Through all the dogmas and differences between religions, and whatever idea you have about other religion, but look at them under the light of the eternal divine path, and the prophecies and the promises God gave to many nations of coming prophets through them and all that, that you can find in the Zohar. And eventually realize, yes, God sent all of them. And each of them have a message for humanity, and each message is great. It's fantastic. It brings man in a greater degree to marching back to light from this darkness or chaos. Why there is chaos? Chaos is always in a place that is not in balance. It's always there where it is, the relationship is not natural. It is not based on deeper understanding of the situation. And the earth also is natural. It's not natural because it's not the essence. Rachel, here is asking, what is the reason for creation itself? I mean, what made God to create? What difference it would make to God if He has not created? There must be something that made God to create. Somehow it feels it was necessary for God itself to have His creation. I mean, in some way, I feel it was a necessity for God itself. What is that thing which made Him to create? This is the question probably has been asked many, many times from me, and we have answered them. And the answer is very clearly at the very beginning of the Bible, that in the beginning there was darkness and chaos. That chaos and darkness is something that most people forget. And they say God thus decided to create without remembering that Bible clearly says before God created it, there was darkness in the universe. Then that darkness came. If you recognize and realize that before the creation there was darkness, now you can clearly see what we teach makes more sense than God suddenly one day decided He's going to create everything. Now the question is, where that darkness come from? According to our teachings and explanation in Zohar, the holiest of the holies, universe was in a state of being, in equilibrium, in absolute bliss and light, and joy, and ecstasy, in a way that it is unimaginable for human mind to fathom. But somehow, that equilibrium, that ecstasy, was disturbed. Now, what disturbed that state is the question I've been asked also, and the answer was there was a desire that was arose in that state. And because that state is beyond mind, is before the mind has been created, it is not explainable in the state of mind. Like just explaining God itself. What was that? Just, we can speculate what it was. The most important thing is that equilibrium was disturbed and the three creative forces in the universe was released. Even at this stage that human is, people have a hard time to sit and meditate and go deeper inside. They're saying, asking me, how do you meditate? It's difficult, it's hard, my mind doesn't stop. Of course, if you drink a lot of coffee, it's even harder. But in general, mind does not want to give up to a deeper level or essence or light. So that is why mind cannot fathom many things about God, and that's why we have said many times, God is not explainable, but it is an experience. If you experience it, you don't need explanation, and you have a connection directly with that essence. For whatever reason, that equilibrium was disturbed, the first creative force that affected the universe was the feeling of I know. Before that, there was no I know. It was the state of knowness. Instead of the knowing everything at the same time. Past, present, future. You just knew. Actually, there was no you, it was just knowness in the universe. But when the universe went out of equilibrium, the first feeling in the universe was, I know. And then the second was the feeling of, I do. So he knew, he did, and the memory came as, I have done. Therefore the ego is completed. That's one another reason why submission is so important. If you are not the doer, you are not the knower, you are not the person who has a memory or history. You are here. And that is the way to be here and now. A lot of, you know, people talk about God's realization is being here and now. And that is what it is. Therefore, if you recognize that chaos, God created the creation to return this chaotic state back to that original equilibrium. And that is the reason for the creation. So the most important thing really for humanity to bring into the creation is the chaotic state of the universe before the creation, and what was before that chaotic state. That chaos was always there, great, I'm glad that you received your answer. And I've noticed a lot of questions always start, why God created the creation? The question never refer to, okay, there was before the creation okay and Okay, but realizing that there was a chaotic state before creation, we realize that God and the reason for creation is to bring that chaotic state, the creation, back to that equilibrium. This completely answers that question, why God created the creation. That is why. And that is why He created eternal divine path. That is why He sent the prophets. That's why He created man in many different stages. And that is why we recommend for everybody to go and read though and our teaching and realize that this man, even the man that we are now, is not the same man that it was before the flood of Noah. Man was more a spirit in the beginning, and he actually had a direct relationship with God, but their ego, you know, start bringing problem, and they become grosser and grosser, and until the flood of Noah, and at the time of the flood of Noah, the man that we are was created, and our third eye was closed, and we no longer have the direction. Okay, Richard has a question about what would mean God disturbed the equilibrium, as everything was in the bliss before the waking up of God. Well, we didn't say waking up. We say there was an equilibrium, and then that equilibrium went out of the that state. How that happened, that is the question. How did it happen? But the chaotic state is the creation itself, even if it's before creation. No, before the creation there is no chaotic. In creation there is chaotic. Even chaotic state have a pattern by themselves, even in the creation state. Actually there is a body of a study that it studies the chaos in the universe, and they have found even in the chaos there is a pattern that happens even in the creation. But in the equilibrium before the creation there is no chaos. There is absolute equilibrium, and there is no darkness. It's all light and unity and oneness, and there is no separation. The only reason for separation is the influence of the three forces in the universe, which are not in a equilibrium state, and that creates ego and darkness and a chaotic state. Therefore, that chaotic state is the unnatural state of being. And the creation is to return back to that equilibrium. And the closest we can become in this universe to that equilibrium is creation of the comings of light and following of the eternal divine path and bringing an environment that can come as close to that equilibrium and unity and flowing together in a greater degree as possible. That needs a human effort, understanding, meditation, and bringing the comings of light. And that is the message of all religions to humanity. Each of them brought a part of the eternal divine path, and now human has gone through the 12,000 years of being absolutely disconnected, even their eye is closed, and they had their history. For last 6,000 years, we had thousands of wars, destructive tendencies, disunity, and now God says, okay, look, human, you have been doing it for last 2,000 years to see what you created. Now you are in brink of absolute annihilation of yourself. You can use the atomic bomb and destroy this earth 50 times. And not only we have that capability at this time, many other nations are seeking to have this capability And if one or two of them, you know, use that capability, you know, at least many, many of the human race will be wiped out of the, you know, face of the universe. So we have not been able to create an environment that man can live with peace and unity. And God says, okay, I left it to you yourself to create it. You're not able. The path to create that environment is eternal divine path. I've been sending it this way for last 12,000 years through my prophets, and each prophet brought a part of the eternal divine path to you. And now, as I promised to my prophets, the whole revelation have come to you, and it is revealed to you how it is done. Now it is up to you. Get rid of your egos. Meditate. You know. Join or create communities of light. Sacrifice in it. Surrender and submit to God and become universalist. Actually, do that yourself. Teach others also and spread this message and teach this light to everyone. And the more we create the communities of light, the more we create the people who follow eternal divine path, the more we will be able to bring the light to earth and humanity, and eventually create the peace and unity that we all long for, but nobody knows how to achieve it. And that's what God is saying. That is how it's achieved. And by creation of the communities of light and bringing the kingdom of heaven on earth, we will accelerate the process of many people. We have heard in the past there have been rishis and mahatmas and great souls that they reached salvation. How that was possible? And there are stories that India used to be like a paradise, or at least the people who came to that place of the earth. And meditation and reaching pure consciousness was something very easy to do for many people in the same, in one lifetime. They're following the eternal divine path. They had communities of light. They talk about the communities or the people who live together and create an environment that it was for everybody, it was easy for everybody to realize this truth in a deeper level and connect back to God and recognize and realize that the goal of their life was to return to God. That is the message again to humanity. We have to create the kingdom of God back to earth. We have to bring the communities of light. We have to overcome the separation between man and man. We have to become a universalist. We have to not get attached to the result of our actions. Free ourselves from the karma. And therefore, reach pure consciousness. The Hebrews are asking, I don't understand the hang-up with the creation. Why not be more concentrated with existence? Yeah, that is not a bad suggestion, or I don't know if it's a question, yes, question why people are so hung up with the creation. Human's mind or intellect like to explain, to explore, to reach the answer. Meditation makes you recognize and realize and go beyond the mind, and then you will ask yourself this question. Many people have been trying to explain God, creation, beginning, end, eternity, for thousands of years. They have written volumes of books, and have use so many papers and all the inks they have used and try to do that. Now they are still asking the same question. Explain God and explain, you know, eternity and all that. They have to say, it has to be another way than trying to explain it intellectually. That's what they're doing to Buddha. They were asking all this question about, you know, creation, eternity, here and there and there. They eventually said, it's nothing. It's nothingness. It's nirvana. And of course, when you say nothingness, you know, the mind just blanks. You know, it's just, okay, nothingness. What can I ask? How the nothingness came? Where the nothingness come from? And where it goes? Really what he meant was, it cannot be explained. It's an experience. When you experience it, then all the books that it explained to you, it become completely, you know, worthless. Because they were explaining something that you experience is beyond explanation. You are so close to the total destruction, existing and survival seem to be more urgent concern. Yes, that is why in our teaching, in eternal divine path, the communities of life, coming together, helping and being in an environment that come out of this external world, destructive force, and encourage people to celebrate life, celebrate unity, celebrate all the religions of the world that have come to them. I have to agree with you on that too, that yes, this is the time of not questioning, you know, the questions about, you know, philosophical understanding, which is okay, you know, but to get together and create the creation, communities of light, bring the eternal divine path, teach humanity this teaching that God said, no one knows the truth until this seventh revelation comes. And when this seventh revelation comes, it explains that each of these religions that God sent to you, human, is a part of eternal divine path, and eternal divine path is the path to salvation for every man, woman, and child, individually and collectively for whole humanity. This is the message that we have to emphasize and bring to humanity and make them realize they are a part of a greater, each of them have a part of the elephant. Each of them have a part of the truth. Of course, we have discussed philosophical points and answered them in this mission very clearly, you know. And people, if you're interested in those points, they are explained too. But of course, the most important thing is at this time giving this message to every man and woman and child so the Jews know that the Islam is being prophesied to come, that Christianity was the Messiah they were waiting for. This is the seventh revelation of God. Each of them have a part of the truth. But the real truth comes only at the end time, after the seven angels. So no one out there who explains or claims to have the truth can have it. God clearly says, I am a mystery. You cannot know me until the seven angels come. Therefore, not Buddhist, not Hindus, not Christian, not Muslim, not Jews, not Baha'is, not Ananda Marga. None of them can say they know the whole truth. Because God clearly says, you can't, you don't, you will not. I will reveal myself completely, my plan, at the time of the seventh angel and the seventh revelation, at the end time. And that's where we are at. We are at the end time, and we have to recognize and realize this message and how important it is and how we should spread it and bring it to humanity in a greater degree. As the goal of life is to reach back to equilibrium, then all creation became divine, it would mean all the creation will reach back to that equilibrium one day. Yes. That is the goal. That is the plan of creation. That's exactly how it is. But of course, with a little effort in human part, it will be accelerated. And also, the whole creation of Godhead or essence, after billions of billions of years, will withdraw and will go in a state of absolute inactive state, or some people say it sleeps. What happened to those parts that did not reach to the equilibrium and light when that time comes? Would they stay in the frozen universe, in the state of darkness, with no guidance? And that is why a scripture talking about the hell, and they're going to be suffering. Therefore, it's not a open-ended invitation to return to Godhead. Although the time limit is very expanded for millions of billions of years, still there is a limit in the time to return, go back home. So there is an urgency. There is not that feeling that, okay, we are going to go back anyway after a couple of billions of years. So why hurry? Let's have fun right now here and not get on with the plan. But there is a limit. So there is kind of a urgency at the same time. That is why God created creation. God tries to send, His Spirit to the world. That's why He struggled with the darkness. He created the eternal divine path. He sent the teachers to man to teach them. He sent the prophets to bring His word to humanity and tell them, follow My commandment. Make Me the focus of your life. Why? God has a big ego that He wants you to be focused on Him? No, He's light. The more you are focused on light, the sooner you get out of darkness. It's like in being in a long dark tunnel, and there is only one little light at the end of it, and the only way you can get out of that tunnel or cave or darkness is to go to that spot. What are you going to look all over the place to the darkness around the tunnel or cave? Or you're going to concentrate on that little spot of light that is your salvation out of that darkness. That's why God's demand, you have your focus on Me. I become your master. I will become your focus. That's what God is demanding. What? Is it an egoistical trip that He needs our focus and attention? No. He is the light. That's how we can get out of this darkness, by focusing on God. Therefore, we can see that God has put an urgency in His message, in His endeavor, in His tasks, and sending all this revelation to man. For what? Because there is a limit in returning back home to Godhead. The more we procrastinate, the more we put it off, the more we get engaged with the external world or our own attachments and desires or little wants, or fears, the more we will go away from the essence, and we will focus on the darkness instead of light. So the focus has to be in that spot of light that lets you get out of this darkness and external world. How do you do it? Can you do it by yourself? You are with a group of people and you're all wanting to get out of that chase. The rule is, if you go by yourself to that light, the door will be shut. You're not going to get out. But if you bring the whole group with you, the door will be open and all of you can go out together. So it's a collective endeavor. It's a collective march toward that light. If you try to get to that light by yourself, God clearly says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I will not let you to come in. That's why he teaches the next step after meditation and trying to understand yourself is the coming of light. Actually, you know yourself in a much greater degree if you are the coming of light. It's easy to be by yourself at the top of the mountain and meditate and feel good and say how great I am. Another thing is to live in the another 11 people in a community unity, in unity in a community. You have to deal with another 11 people and they will let you know what your shortcomings are after a while. And so you accelerate yourself, of course, if you listen. If you are willing to let your ego go and progress in the community. Therefore, communities of life not only create an environment for physiological and safety needs, it's a great school for the seeker to see themselves in a much greater degree and put the light on themselves and others and march together toward the salvation. So this is another thing humanity have to realize. They cannot go by themselves. How many people were meditating in a mountain and, you know, walking around naked and putting ash in themselves in some culture, like Indian culture, and how many people reach pure consciousness? Even Buddha lived like a hermit or complete denial of physiological and safety needs for a while. And one day he heard a boatman was talking about how important it is to not to tie the boat too hard, because if you do that, the rope will break, or too loose, because if you do that, the knot will open. In both cases, the boat will be taken away from the shore by the water and you're going to lose it. You have just to tie it right. That's exactly what we teach here. The middle path. The middle path is not to deny completely your physiological safety needs and become naked and put ash on your head and go to the mountain and never come back and you think you're great, you're going to reach salvation. And not to be too attached to this external world, that it becomes your master. Well, you can enjoy the external world as far as it's not your master, and as far as you can share with everybody else to progress at the same time. So the path is the middle path. The path is the path of the eternal divine path. So you can see again, the eternal divine path accelerates human progress in many, many ways. Of course, human is not completely ready yet for the eternal divine path and the comings of light. And ego is amazingly stubborn, and humanity have a long way to go to get rid of that ego. And that's why we have been at it for the last 25 years. And still we are pushing this idea every week and every day in the PAL talk and in many other ways for humanity to recognize this is the plan of God. This is the way to salvation. This is how you bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. And if you can see the truth in it completely, then you are the messenger for this message. You are the second level or the third level or fourth level, but always refer man to God. Do not let them become attached to you. Don't become in the way of the salvation of man. Refer them to the essence. Refer them to where the truth is. God, His revelation, His scriptures, His words. Let that of your own understanding, but let God's spirit and understanding fill you up and replace with what you want to know or you know. And let Him fill you up with the greater understanding which is beyond any intellectual realization or curiosity. Intellectual quote. Ask yourself a question, okay? Who is God? Or what is God? How many people try to answer this question and they never succeeded? But there are some people, or many people, they still say they believe in God. What's the difference between those who explain it and those who believe in it and have faith? God is the feeling. God is an experience. God is a relationship. That's why, in a sense, mission is not a religion. It is not a bunch of dogmas that we believe and then we can say, okay, I'm divine because I believe that the seven angels is going to come. That's it. I'm divine. You can say, I'm divine because I know the eternal divine path. You can say, I'm divine because I read, I know my Maitreya very closely. Accept with Him and talk to Him and I know Him, therefore I'm divine. The only way we can become divine is by following the eternal divine path. It is a path. It doesn't have any dogma. You either follow it or you don't. If you follow it, you become divine. You have no choice. If you meditate, you awaken your spiritual forces, you realize yourself, you contemplate, you see yourself clearly, your strengths and your weaknesses, and you accept any, or actually welcome any input from others in accelerating yourself to knowing yourself and getting rid of any psychological or spiritual problem you might have, then of course, you know, you create a community of life, or join the community and become the productive member of the community. I received lots of letters or emails or inquiries that I'm a great person, I'm a great spiritual being, I have such an experience, I just need a place to meditate and being taken care of. And if you are the person you say you are, then you should be doing this for me. But actually I'm not that kind of the person. And I'm not for those who are looking for a place to take care of them. We teach here that you should be taking care of yourself. Actually, being a productive member of the community is spiritually more advanced than expecting community to take care of us. That is much greater in spiritual progress. So we can completely realize this is a all out struggle together to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, to progress in a greater degree in our path. And way has been shown, and revelation has been given, and now is the time really for humanity to grow up, to go away, get rid of their ego. And we, as we just saw in that comic strip, it's so hard to get rid of it. So many people say, I'm a good person. Yeah, it's beyond being a good person. It's being God, actually. Being able to let God come to 100% all the time. It is not the state of, you know, going up and down either. It's not the roller coaster. It's a steady state of oneness with the Spirit. Some people say that's impossible, just like a disciple of Christ asked him, you know, so who's going to do it? Why is it so, it's difficult. Who is going to make it? He said that that's impossible for man, but it's possible for God. It's impossible for man, but in a commonness of life, the more God comes to people and through people, it becomes easier and easier for them. Right now, of course, we are bringing this light in the darkness. We are bringing to the humanity that the teaching is to be number one. Just watch out for yourself. Just be selfish and self-centered and grab any material thing you can from this external world, because that's all there is in life. There is no spiritual world, there is no afterlife. You are here to just satisfy your physiological and safety need and enjoy whatever it's offered in this external world, and that is what you are here for. And even those who think they are good people, when they come to the mission, they are amazed that they still have a lot of work to do. Go beyond that, oh, I'm a good person, I do good things, therefore everybody knows I'm good. It's beyond being good. It's beyond being good. It's being God. And that's what the eternal divine path creates. You follow the eternal divine path, you understand our teaching in a greater degree, you will become a son of God. That is the promise that God gave. Whoever overcometh. Overcometh what? Overcometh the ego. That little thing that everybody talks about it, everybody knows it is the problem, but how to get rid of it? That's how to get rid of it. It's eternal divine path. By understanding the message of God, by realizing that all religions have been sent to give this message to humanity. They all culminate to this matches. Follow eternal divine path. Understand God's message. Get rid of your ego. Meditate. Create an environment that other people also meditate and are comfortable. Sacrifice for it and surrender and submit to God and become a universalist. So simple. 5 steps. No dogma. Yes, it sounds simple. It is simple. But it is also very hard. Because it has the quality which is absolutely against human nature. Who wants to meditate? My mind going 100%. Degree all over the place. I don't want to meditate. My mind is very active and I don't have any good meditation. Even a bad meditation is a good meditation. I don't live in other people. I just want to have a trailer or a house or something by myself and sit there and tell myself I feel good about myself. I'm great. The moment you start living with somebody else, you start seeing yourself in a greater degree. I'm not as calm and collected and loving and everything that I thought I am anymore. I have to deal with another 11 people. You have to modify yourself. You have to meditate more. You have to think how you can be a better person in that environment. As you do that, you become a better person. Your energy will become more flowing and ability to cope and be with other people and live with them. That's how it used to be. It used to be communities that they live together, hundreds and thousands of people together. And not only that, in that environment, I have to sacrifice, I have to give up myself to it. Not only sacrifice, but my example is Christ. I have to crucify my ego, my lower nature, my longing, my desire, my thing. And then, after that, we surrender and submit to God. This is each step is absolutely against human nature. And then, you mean I'm no longer belong to any specific country or culture or religion? I'm a universalist and I have to see everybody in the light of being a part of God? How many rooms have you seen in Pantok? They are talking, we are better than you. Our religion is better than your religion. We are a better person, place than you are. So you can see, again, another step of a human who is in the path of expanding themselves to become a part of God and going out of darkness. The eternal divine path is the light of the world. It is the path to salvation of man. It is the path that God has to come and go through himself or itself. And of course it is eternal because it leads to eternity. And it is divine because it makes you divine. And it's a path. It's a way. There is no dogma. There is no nothing in it. So if you know our teaching, you can see even the system that has been created and presented, the way the history has been guided to this point, are the four classes of humans interact with each other and create different periods of the history for man. There is nothing left that is not explained by God through this meditation for humanity. The only thing left for humanity is now to see this vision, to study the teaching, to realize God's way and the plan and how he works, and he has been working to this point, and now it is the end time. Because when he said, when the seven angels come, when the revelation of the seven seals is revealed, when the seventh truth comes, that is the end of this period. So it's a historical event that is happening in this mission, with this revelation to humanity, and their way to salvation and going out of this chaos that they have created is the eternal divine path, the revelation of the seven seals and the seventh angel. And it's for all humanity. I'm not here to create a cult. I'm not here to gather a few people in one place and tell them no, they are out there bad, you are inside good, and separate you from them and create such an... Actually, we encourage people to go out there in the world and be in the world, but not of it. So it is very expanding, it's very open to whole humanity. It is a message every man and woman and child should hear at least once. Therefore, that's why we are doing here in Tata and many other outlet that we reach out. Contact is only one of the outlets we reach out. We have the website, we have the, you know, fax, telephone, email, mail, and hopefully all of you guys also reach out to whoever you contact with. As our number, of course, increases and more people will reach out, we eventually will cover the whole humanity in a 6-7 levels of reaching out. It's not really that hard. If each of you reach 12 people or 10 people, and those each reach 10 people, we can cover the earth in 6-7 level of preaching and reaching out. When we give this message to them, we are free. We have no attachment to them. It's up to them, between them and God. Our work is done. The work of the messenger is to give the message. When I give this message to you, and you give it to them, as my work is done, you know the message. You have read the door. You have been in our website. You have heard me many, many times explaining the eternal divine path and how each religion of the world is a part of a greater truth called eternal divine path and how that eternal divine path works. I'm done. And when you do or say eternal divine path and explain it to other people, you're done with them. They're not asking. Of course, if they came back and they want to know more, they want to get involved, they want to become a contact, they want to be translating their website to, German or language or Arabic or any other language, of course, you will love them, you will help them, you will visit them, and you will try to, to be teaching them greater truth. Even those who love the mission and the eternal divine path, when they come close to me, they still see there is very much more truth that they didn't consider that. So coming close to me also, it's going to be a little difficult for those two people that we want to create the truth, because God demands absolute detachment from this external world and absolute attachment to him or her or it. That a lot of people are not ready to do. They're good people. They're very good people. But as we said, we want to create God people beyond good people. And that means no attachment to the external world. It doesn't mean don't have husband or wife or children or home or anything. But none of them should be your master or family or father or mother. Or the only master you should have is God. Have them, love them, be with them. But they should not become an obstacle in your way to God. If they are helping you, that is great. If you have a husband or wife or father, mother, or the family, or anything that helps you to go to God in a greater degree, that is great. You are a lucky, lucky person. Very lucky person. But if you don't love them, be with them, but never let them anything stay between you and God. Remember the hierarchy of beings. First is God. Second is your spiritual teacher, who takes you to God. If you have a spiritual teacher who takes him to himself and attach you to himself and make you a couple of cheap miracles and make you to be attached to them, run. Don't stay with them. So if the person next after the spiritual teacher is parents. If your parents take you to your spiritual teacher and God, great. They are great parents, and you're lucky. But if not, love them, cherish them, but go to your spiritual teacher who takes you to God. And the fourth one is your spouse, your wife, your husband. And then they also should march with you and at least encourage you with you and take you to God. So those beings who are in this hierarchy should encourage and help you to go to God. For you, says he has a question. Why don't you type your question on the text? I hope you have been in our website and have studied our teaching and know something about what we teach here. Otherwise, you can ask me to explain to you what we teach. You know, of course, I hope you know that we claim that this is the last revelation. Can we reach to completeness of God by ourselves through books? The answer is a resounding no. Books are good, reading are good. They are intellectual endeavors that it sharpens mind and bring greater degree of understanding. But as the Bible clearly says, intellect is like that little book, that it's sweet in your mouth, but it's bitter in your stomach. It's in Revelation chapter 10, last verse, somewhere there. So, intellectual understanding is very sweet and very attractive in the beginning. But the more you read, you analyze, later on the more confused you become. Because it expands itself to so many different branches and ways of explaining the same thing. That's why by explaining and reading, you do not reach God. By experiencing, you will reach God. To experience God, of course, you need the grace. And the grace makes you be connected to God and beings. And therefore, you seek the grace. Of course, meditate also. That is another way to get close to God, by meditation. But that is still not alone. Complete. You need also grace to, even in meditation, to realizing God in a greater degree. How we can reach the experience, as I said, by meditation, by prayer, by fasting, by desiring to be with God, and by following the eternal divine path, by following our teaching. Our teaching is not just an intellectual understanding or just a book. It is a greater realization by creation of the comings of light, meditating, seeking the grace. Of course, the grace isn't released to humanity when Isa, the Christ, came to us, and now it is for everybody to reach it and know it and use it. Well, may I know your definition of reaching God? Reaching God is becoming one with God. It means you're realizing that your essence and God is one. That you are already God, but of course the ego is in your way like an umbrella cutting you off. And when you understand that God indeed is your essence, then you reach God. God is not up there something with somebody sitting on a chair with a long beard and a piercing eye. He is the spirit beyond the universe. It is the universal mind. It is the essence that everything has been created with. Therefore, God is everything and is also within you. And you realize that God exists and you do not, then you have reached Him. Nice. Okay. Then can we say it means our acting like God or having God's characteristics? Exactly. Actually, that is what Eternal Divine Path teaches you. by meditation and awakening spiritual forces, by living in a community and coping well with other people and understanding them and realizing them and ability to live with them, to sacrifice in the community and becoming surrender and submissive to the will of God and universe, you will have no choice but show the quality of God of compassion, love, understanding, gentleness, beauty, and any other great attribute that God has. Exactly. That is the goal, to manifest God's quality. Then for sure, we should have a model for that. Yes, the model is Christ. The Christ, the Spirit of God, came to man, to darkness, and sacrificed and went through the eternal divine path, and he put that model for humanity to follow. And that is the model we have had, and the Spirit of Christ was coming to humanity through the Messiah, the prophesied being that when God prophesied to come, and he has come more than 7 times to humanity and showed them the path to salvation in the last 12,000 years and the beginning of the universe. Yes, so we do have the model to follow, for sure. And the qualities of God are the following of the eternal divine path, and the goal is to reach pure consciousness, the oneness in the spirit with God, and have an experience and realization direct with him. How to do that is to meditate, realize and understand the mystical path. Of course, mystical path also covers all the religions that teach mystical path, such like Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, Sufis, and every other teaching that says, know thyself to know God, and realize that your essence and God is one. That is the beginning. A lot of people think that's the end of the spiritual path. By meditating and becoming a mystic, you reach God and you like a drop, you fall into the water. But clearly God now reveals to humanity that if you by yourself want to go there, he's not going to let you in. You will be a spew out of his mouth. So you have no choice. The next step, you have to create the comings of light. That's the message of the Old Testament. The Old Testament, the whole Old Testament is based on God trying to create a community which will follow him and bring his laws to themselves and create a comings of light. Create a comings of light, of course, you need to sacrifice. That was the message of Christ, came and was crucified for his ideal, put on the cross with a nail on his feet and hands, and he released the grace. So it is easier for man now to reach to that state of sacrifice, because you cannot follow eternal divine path without grace. And of course, after you sacrifice, you must become attached to the result of action, or your ego comes in. Either you become too elated or depressed. The next step is surrendering submission to God. And that is the message of Islam. Surrendering means you surrender the result of your action to God. And submission even is greater than surrendering, means you let God come through. And the next step, of course, is absolutely shatter every narrowness of the mind and become a universalist. And that was the message of Bab and Baha'u'llah. This is the 5th step that will make you a son of God or an elect. And that is the message of the 6th seal, and now the 7th seal, which is the teaching we brought to humanity. For being like a model, that model should be viewable. We should street. We should not have a antithia model. Okay. Alright. Well, can you explain that in a greater degree, what you mean by that for you? Well, all the prophets of God were human who came to man, and they were viewable. They were not a fantasy. Christ wasn't a fantasy. Moses was not a fantasy. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, none of them were fantasy. Adam was not fantasy. They were all men. They were humans who God chose and sent to humanity. And therefore they are viewable. I mean, for taking those characteristics, we should see them now. For example, if we talk about kindness of God, right now we should see it. Those paths. Well, yes, you have those examples, but the most important is you create those characteristics. You know, those characteristics exist is a part of God. Otherwise, how can we experience that? You experience through direct connection with God in your meditation. The prophets, those models, have brought the message to you, to humanity. They have explained it. They have shown the way. They really didn't explain it. Mostly they shown the way to reach to that state that you can be connected to God and therefore manifest those qualities to yourself. Of course, the prophets, the messengers, the Messiah always put an example for everybody else, and he doesn't ask everybody else to do what he did not do himself. He doesn't ask you to become detached from your family or your environment or your culture unless he has done it himself. So, therefore the example has been put. Now it is for you to see that example and follow. But you know, even in philosophy, for connection, two different levels, one low and one high, you need an interface, a level in between. Yeah, that's exactly why you meditate. That's why you seek the grace of God. God is very high level, and your interface is that meditation, the Word of God, the Scriptures, Messiah, the example that they have put for you. Christ put an example for you. Moses put an example for you. Prophet Muhammad put an example for you. Abraham, Isaac, you know, Israel, all Adam, all Bob, Paola, Baba, hopefully I put an example for all of you to follow, but eventual achievement is you connect yourself directly to God, because that is the highest. That is highest level. No matter how low you are, you're going to be pulled up to that height. Still, the prophets, the messengers, and the Messiah are humans. They have a human part. But if you connect yourself to the Spirit directly, you are connected to the highest possible. Okay, we will end up our session for this week here. And seems to be not much questions here, but I hope still we can convey this message in a greater degree to all of you. You are welcome for you. I hope you receive some of your answers here, and go to our website, and everybody read our teaching and see how wonderful it is and how wonderfully you can help humanity to go to a greater degree in this great evolutionary step where for the first time ego can be overcome with everybody, at least those chosen one, and hopefully we can bring a unity to humanity and oneness to all of us. Hello everybody, see you next week.